Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Shkolim. Ready, gearing into Parshas Shkolim, this week's Parshas Shkolim. It's a very, very fascinating beginning to the halachas of Ben Adam L'Chaveri. We have the Torah given last week's Parshas Yisroi, and now we're introduced to the halachas of Ben Adam L'Chaveri. Ve'elah ha-mishpatim ha-shatosim lifneihem. These are the mishpatim, these are the laws ha-shatosim lifneihem. And we are immediately launched into the halachas that one would believe would be the most necessary, the most practical, the most relevant. And instead of all of that, and being introduced to the halachas of straight away the hilchos shomer, of looking after somebody else's item, or the hilchos of a halvor, we're straight away brought into the halachas of an eved ivri. An eved ivri is somebody who was sold into slavery, and generally, it's talked about a case where a person is a moicha beistin, he's a ganav, he's sold because he's not able to provide payment to recuperate to pay back the bailim that he stole from, and he's sold. And the parasha goes through and describes exactly the process of his avdus, and after a particular stage, he has ability to leave after 7 years. And if not, then he goes and he gets his ear pierced next to the delis, mezuzah, etc., etc. Which is, again, it's a very, very fascinating idea. And the obvious question is, why introduce the halachas of Olam HaChaveri in something which is really a quite unpleasant mitzvah? It's taking a individual person who's done a crime, he's a ganav, and subjugating him to slavery, to servitude, or whatever it may be. And it's not something we want to talk about. It's something we want to, unfortunately, we've got to deal with at some stage, but why introduce us with that? Also, this whole concept of taking his ear and piercing, what's the idea behind that? It says, Oizen, I heard, Bahasino le signoiv, what are you doing, stealing, and therefore you pierce the ear. So the Mefarshim all ask, if the Issa of Le Signoiv is why we're going on the ear, why doesn't he get immediately, as soon as he steals, regardless whether he sells himself as an eved or not, why didn't he take his ear and pierce his ear, regardless of why he became an eved or not? And even if it's something got to do with servitude or being an eved, why wait only if he is a moicha atzmoi, if a moicha basin after the 7 years? Do it straight away. What's the concept? Why do you wait? What's the story behind that? Furthermore, the Mefarshim explain, what's this Deles HaShtei Mezuzos? That this was, Deles Mezuzos referring to that Kodesh Baruch Hu jumped over the Deles HaShtei Mezuzos, Ramashka HaShtei Mezuzos, and Mefarshim bring down that this is the concept of, bear with me, Oizein Shoshoma and Hasinai Kili Bnei Sol Avodim V'lo Avodim Na'Avodim. So he should get nirtza. Why? So the person manishtan delas mezuzah called kedim shuvayis. Why delas mezuzah? Omar kodesh baruch hu delas mezuzah shoye edim b'mitzrayim. Kesher pesachti al hamashke beis mezuzah. I jumped over the mashke shle mezuzahs. V'amarti kli b'nei sol avodim, and you avodim to me. V'loy avodim la avodim, and not my avodim to my avodim. Hoylech zev v'kona odon la'atzma yirtza b'fneim. In other words, a kodesh baruch hu jumped over the house, and he put the mashke in shtei mezuzos, right? And therefore, that is why we take our the ear of the eved and pierce it next to the mashke shtei mezuzos. The only question is, where exactly do you pierce the ear? Where exactly do you pierce the ear? No, or what? So it's very interesting. Rashi brings down, the Chumash Rambam brings down, you pierce it on the door. Not on the doorpost. You pierce it on the door, right? He brings up Chumash and Rambam brings out Rakadela Shalel. So, what's the idea of piercing on the door if you've got to the doorpost? What's the idea behind that? Furthermore, this is, by the way, if you want to see this inside, this is the most incredible drasha for a Moshe Feinstein drush chofei, and what I'm saying is based on his drasha, a beautiful drasha. And he says, furthermore, what is this idea of Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Zohar and Parshas Porah and Parshas Chodesh? It's not relevant, unfortunately, today. Parshas Shkolim used to be in the olden times, take a half a shekel and you buy kibbonis with it. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have anything. It's just a tzar for us. What's the deal behind that? Parsha Zochar. Parsha Zochar is all about Mechias HaMolik. Practically, we can't do it today. We don't know who HaMolik is. Even if we do, we're not under our own Rishuyos. Practically, how does that work? What's the idea? Why is it so important to go through the Parsha Zochar? Parsha Pora. Also, with Tomei Meis, we haven't got Pora Duma. What's the idea? What's the concept behind that? What is it so important to know about that in Parsha Chodesh? Why do you make such a big deal about it? Why do we go through things, unfortunately, painfully, nothing to do with today's reality? So Ramosha explained that there are three fundamentals. There are three particular issues that is universally challenging across society. There are three fundamentals that corrupt people or build people based on their own perception and the perception of how to deal with it. Number one, it's wealth. The enormous amount of respect people give to wealth in place of respecting somebody who is a good person is incredible. If you have a Rebbe who's teaching in school and he's got a 10-year-old, a station wagon, Shoin, if you can't manage, you teach. But this guy has got a brand new, beautiful Mercedes. And he's a chosh of a person. I went to a certain place in Israel. It's not relevant because I have numbers. But in a certain place in Chutz Aretz, that you can have names on the cars. Yeah, and you have special number plates where you have names on the cars. So, yeah, there's Moishi, there's Chaim, you get names on the cars, you mess around enough. So one of my kids said to me, Daddy, what's the idea here? Why is this guy had a name on the car? Why is it so important? I said, unfortunately, there's certain places, not everyone, but there's certain places that the car identifies a person. Chaim is what car he drives. Moishi is what car he drives. Yeah? And therefore, my name and my car are one. That symbolizes who Chaim is. Chaim drives a brand new two-door sports Mercedes. That's Chaim. Yeah? But Nebuch, this other Shmerel, who doesn't, he's got a regular number plate, that's he's a Nebuch. And therefore wealth defines an enormous amount of how we respect this person and how we value them in society. That's the first one, wealth. The second one is power. Power is in many, many different levels. Power can be this kid who's a bully in the playground. He is the most powerful kid. You can have power, you can have it on a political scale. You can have somebody who is enormously powerful in the polls. You get somebody who becomes... he's very glib, he's a very good talker, he hasn't very much experience in anything else, but he's able to be powerful because he is politically, he is a good politician. He's able to maneuver himself in the correct way, to be popular, he becomes powerful, and that is power. Power could be a guy who is walking down the street with a Kalashnikov. He's powerful. You can get a powerful nation in the world because they have nuclear bombs. There's another thing. Power is another element. There's wealth and power, which are separate one from the other. You can get a very, very powerful person doesn't have wealth, or vice versa. And the third one is intellect. Intellect. And these are people who, right across the board, they can be scientists who are so intellectually, they're so intellectually, correct word for this?
Arrogant,
that they totally dismiss any other theories other than their own. You get doctors who are so arrogant that they dismiss a second opinion. You don't need to go to second opinion. I don't believe what the other doctor says. Even if the other person's life is in their hands, toiv shivarei from the beginning. Sometimes. You can get the arrogance of people who do not want to believe that they're wrong. They don't want to believe that they're wrong. So there are three elements in life that ultimately are challenges. There's wealth, there's power, and there is intellect. The Pasuk says that very clearly in Yirmiyahu Yahu Tes, Moshe brings. Koi Omer Hashem, Al Yishalel Chochem Mechochmosi. Don't become a Balgaiva Chochem, a Chochem with your wisdom, that's the intellect. Val Yishalel Hagibo Begvurosi. And don't let the Gibbo, the mighty person, get carried away with his strength. And don't let the wealthy person become carried away with his ashiras. If you want, you have an ability to tune in to the real elements of what those three things can put right way, there's nothing better. Haskel means use your seichel and understand me, use it in the right way. Ki ani Hashem oise chesed mishpat utzdaka. If you use those three things for ashirus, chokhmah and intellect in the right way, then if you understand it correctly how to use it, then you'll use it for three things. Chesed is for the chokhmah, you'll know, understand carefully how to look after other people's needs. Mishpat is for gvura, you won't use power for the wrong things, you'll use power for the right things and bring people to justice. And stock is obviously for ashirus, you use it for the right things. So those three things can be used the wrong way, and those three things can be used the right way. That is right across the board. And Rav Moshe goes into the challenges that wealthy people have, and how unfortunate it is that really it's very difficult for them really to end with a good conclusion. He says, first of all, because wealth is something that one can't take with us. You know, there's a famous shir for Monty Miller from Gateshead, who describes the rules of the Monopoly game. You know the Monopoly game? Yeah, you get money, then you buy the houses, then you get the hotels, and you bankrupt the other person, and you close the box. Yeah? That's a Monopoly game. Yeah, unfortunately, you get the houses, you get the hotels, you bankrupt everyone else, and you close the box. So it's finite. There's also, unfortunately, it's addictive. Money is very addictive. A person is never ever satisfied with what he has. He always looks for more, and what he looks for is so much more than he has, he can never be satisfied. And finally, says Rav Moshe, it's something which can be lost in a day or gained in a day. It's something today, today's markets especially, it's something that's so fickle, it's something that is so insecure, that a person, if their whole wealth is based, who they are based on their wealth, Rahman al-Islam, it's very, very dangerous. So there are three things, Rabbi Isai. There's wealth, there's power, and there's intellect. Those are the three dangers in right through society. Begins Parshas Mishpatim. What is Parshas Mishpatim? Parshas Mishpatim, says Rav Moshe, is an introduction to all the halachas of an Adam Lechaveri. Why? Because Parshas Mishpatim is dealing with an individual, a human being, who is buying another person. He is able to go with his money and afford to buy another person for 7 years. So here we're dealing here with an Oshir, a wealthy man who has ability through his money to become powerful over the other person. Through his money, he's able to employ the other person with his money. Number one. Number two, this man is powerful. He is now the Odin. Yes, master. No, master. There's an enormous ability for this person to get lost in unfortunately treating the Evan in a way that is not applicable, that is not reasonable to the Evan because of his power. He's totally in control. What's he going to do? He's going to say no to me. He's my Evan. So therefore he has, not only his Ashiras is something that challenges him, he also has the ability to abuse him because of his power. And thirdly, who am I dealing here with a Ganav? He's a nothing. I'm a respectable business person. And therefore this person's, he's nothing, he's made wrong decisions in life. I made the right decisions in life. And that's why I am the owner and he's the Eved. And therefore on those three bases, the fact that he's an Oshi, and the fact that he is powerful, and the fact that he is more intellectually on above him, is ability for an Odoin to unfortunately abuse an Eved. The Eved, on the other hand, has done three mistakes in his level of those three. Number one, he has taken his Ashiris and he's believed there is no reason to work hard. There's no reason to be honest. I can go in and burgle somebody and I've made my Ashiris that way. He has compromised on his ability to use Ashiris in the correct way. Number two, I am powerful enough and nobody's going to find me. I'm quick, I'm smart, I'm able to quickly to me. He is using his gevura. He's using his thing to climb up into people's windows and jump inside people's windows. That's using his power. He's using his gevura in the incorrect way. And thirdly, he's obviously using his seichel. What chutzpah do you have? What chutzpah do you have to take something from one person and take it for yourself? Only because he's justified it in a way that he's used his seichel in the wrong way. So here we have Odoin, who is using his power, his wealth, power, and intellect to overpower somebody else who also has a corrupted mind, power, and intellect. Money, power, and intellect. Says the Torah, if that is the case, we have to reawaken you. Why? When you became an Eved, it doesn't necessarily prove that that's what you were thinking. It doesn't prove when you became the Eved that you were thinking all these things. It could be because you were simply desperate. It could be you were simply desperate, you needed to support a family, your children were crying from hunger at home. That is why you climbed through a person's window. You weren't using your mind that you were saying, this person doesn't deserve it and I do. You weren't trying to use your ashiras because, you know, and you didn't have a choice. And therefore, we give you a chance. We don't pierce your ear right at the beginning. We wait. And we wait after the 7 years. If after 7 years, you are willing to continue being the Eved to this person, then we can see this is no longer desperation. This is a clear choice that you've made. This is a clear direction you're taking. You have decided there's nothing embarrassing by being a ganav. You have an ability to go out. You'll get hanaka. You'll be supported. No, I'm not embarrassed. If you're not embarrassed and you're willing to continue being an Eved, clearly you have come to terms with the fact that what you did previously was nothing wrong, and we can see now that you deserve to be punished and get your ear pierced. Now, what is this ear pierced? What's this all about? So the interesting thing is that a door, Ramesh explains, a door is the ability to keep things in or keep things out. It is a separation. You allow people in who you want, and you don't allow people in who you don't want. The door is a marshal of choice. The door is a marshal of choice. I have the right and the choice to decide how I'm going to allow my house to look. What am I going to do with my choices? How am I going to use my ashiras? The right way or the wrong way? My gevurah, the right way or the wrong way? And so to my chochma, the right way or the wrong way? So what you do is, you take this, the odoin, takes this eved who's making these wrong choices, and he takes him to the door. And he says, this door, you're using your all the three things that you have in the wrong way. This is a door. The door has a choice. You have a right to make choices in life. Make the choices right now. But where are these choices done? These choices are done in an area where you have two doorposts and a lentil. What's a lentil? The lentil, says Rabbeisha, is brought down by Kabbalah, is the seichel of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's koyach haTorah. That's come from Shemaim. That is Shemaim. That is using the Chochmas HaTorah to know when to open a door and when not to open a door. The right hand side, the right doorpost, is Gevurah. Right hand side always determines Gevurah. And left is Ashiras, that is a strength that comes from the outside. A person's is not born wealthy. A person gets wealth from the outside. He can't see two babies and a thing, he can't see the wealthy or not. It comes from the outside. So the left doorpost is Ashiras, the right doorpost is Gevura, and the top is Seichel. You take him to there and you say, take all those three, open or close the door according to how you want to determine your life. And if you don't do that, then that is why you're making a big mistake remaining in Eved. That is the idea of waiting, not doing it immediately, but doing it later. Can the Odoin refuse to continue taking him for the next 7 years? I imagine so. Yes. Yeah? No. Yeah, but if he wants to stay for the 7 years, if he says, I have this Odoin, Ishli is Bonai, does the Odoin have a right to feel? Clearly you can. I don't remember seeing this clearly, but clearly you can.
It mischaracterizes Eved. I mean, he may be the sort of person who would be in a dole in the UK because he's not competent to be successful in the economy. And to say he doesn't, I mean, that's...
Does that give him a right to steal?
No, it doesn't, but it gives him... explain why he might prefer to be an Eved rather than go back into the economy where there's no safety net.
Everybody has the ability to make the right choices, and nobody has a right ever. It's never an excuse to steal.
Okay.
And therefore, it's either because it's desperation or bad choice. But he can work for them. He can be a sochir. He can become a sochir. Don't become an eved. Become a worker. Work by this odoin.
If there's unemployment in the country.
Work by this odoin. Work by this odoin. Work.
Who not
yeah.
Not work.
He has a choice.
In other words, they said, do you want to be a sukkah or do you want to come and open? He could say,
I want to be a worker. I want to be a sukkah, sure.
Okay.
So work. You know the ropes. Don't be an Eved anymore, though.
They didn't have
an Eved. The advantage of an Eved, or disadvantage of an Eved, is that he's got to keep everything. But lemaisa, there is a hefkerus that this Eved has, that he's together with his shivcho kananis. He's compromising his values because he wants to recognize that his odoin is a osher, he is a wealthy man, he is in charge, he is more intellectually more proficient, more superior than me, I'm willing to subjugate myself. No, you got the door there. You make the choices in life. You decide. We have literally 3 more minutes. That, says Rav Moshe, is why we have these parashiyos now. The parasha of parashas Shkolim is telling the Oshir, you big knacker, you have the gold, you have the golden credit card, the platinum credit card, you in all the airport lounges, you in first class, you are above everybody else, you have your own personal check-in, that's fine. But once a year, I want to show you that as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, even when it talks about buying korbanos, you're the same as everybody else. You cannot give more than a half a shekel. Don't think you're special. You may be special other things, give tzedakah, but once a year, you're a human being, you're counted like everybody else. This is Ashiras debunked. That's chucked out. The next one is the concept, obviously, of Parsha Zohar. What's Parsha Zohar? Parsha Zohar is fighting against Amalek. What's Amalek? Every other nation in the world were petrified to fight with Klal Yisrael. What did they come along and say? Piffle. Ah, Ribbono Shleilam, we can fight the Ribbono Shleilam. That is an arrogance. That is ridiculous gevurah used to the furthest extent that created an Amalek. We take the gevurah and say, this is what happens to a Meshuggah who thinks he's more powerful than Ribbono Shleilam. Timche Zeicha Amalek, get rid of them. Get rid of them. That is the idea of the gevurah. And obviously, Parshas Porah is getting rid of our own intellect and saying sometimes we posh don't understand. Partially, we don't understand. We don't understand how things work, and therefore we get rid of our wealth, our power, and our intellect before we come to Parshas HaChodesh, which is all the preparation for Kabbalah Satira, for getting understanding of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of freeing ourselves from these negative influences, and eventually going to Pesach, becoming Bnei Chayrin. So this is a concept of Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim introducing to us the 3 negativities that could possibly run through, how the Odoin can be involved in that, how the Eved is involved in that, how the choices we have are there to reawaken us at those stages, to become aware that we have those choices, and that is a purpose why we have it now in these parashas, to reawaken us, to say halacha l'maisa. Those 4 parashas are really relevant to us today. We get the messages clear that Be'ez Hashem we can come to Pesach as proper Bnei Chayrin.